Hello and happy new year. This is the New Year's spectacular show of Pinot Perfume. Just kidding. I'm just recording this early on New Year's Day. There's going to be no episode on Sunday. It's just the regular week's episode. Hang tight really quickly. I'm back. So for some reason, my dog loves to go out. So let me throw this back. So when my home office that I record in, I work in from home and I record the show in, is connected to the master bathroom, which is connected to the master bedroom. And so there's two doors, one to the bathroom and then one just out into the hallway. So my one dog, Rascal, loves to walk from the office through the bathroom, through the master bedroom, and into the door of, through the door of the home office, despite me having it closed. It's a really shitty latch, so it's like easy to pop in, but I close the door while I'm recording so I don't disturb my husband, and I don't know, I feel weird with him listening. It's kind of strange. So I can like be my totally weird self and not worry about it. But also it's distracting to hear like the whoosh from the air from the rest of the house. I don't know. But anyway, it distracted me. So he did that. And he did that thing where he like lumbers in, opened the door. So I had to shut it. That was a long explanation. Back to the new year. Happy new year. Before I start, cause I'm on a real bender today, guys, I have some thoughts and, gonna get into that. But before I do, you know, a bitch loves a Kirkland Signature boxed wine. I drink it. It's what I drink the majority of the time outside of beer, but I would say out of my wines, I drink boxed wine most of the time on the show. Kirkland Signature, not bad. I get down with it. I fucks with it hard. No exception for the new year, sipping on a Kirkland Signature Prosecco. I think it was $7.99. Cheers, bitches. So just had to throw that out there. Just because it's a new year doesn't mean my frugal habits, well, in this case, probably cheaper habits, are dying. Okay, so my rants. Buckle up. So it's weird. The one thing that's been like, so there's been things that have been like getting under my skin, two things that get under my skin with this particular start of the new year. Not in the past years, but just this one, the changeover from 2020 into 2021. First, it's the naive optimism. Listen, I am hopeful that 2021 will see us get back to some semblance of normalcy. Not going to be right away, but yes, as the year progresses, I hope that we will get back to normal. But some of y'all coming off super, it comes off like you're expecting the clock to switch over from 11:59 p.m. to midnight, and it's going to be like, done. It's magically going to go back to way things were pre-pandemic. Like, lockdowns are magically going to be lifted. We don't have to wear masks anymore. You know, coronavirus was like, oh, shit. Oh, it's 2021? Oh, man, my lifespan was just in 2020. I guess I got to book it. Like, you know, like a fucked up Cinderella, you know, clock strikes midnight, he's out. Get out of here, coronavirus. It's 2021 now. You don't belong here. I am hopeful that we will resume to normal, but I don't think it's going to happen right away. And it really, really kind of chaps my ass to see everybody, especially the ones that are super aggressive. They're like, yeah, fuck 2020. Yeah, 2021 is going to be so much better. Hey, 2020, you can suck on my big fat dick. Yeah. Hey, 2020, why don't you eat my dirty asshole? You know, and they're like, yo, 2020, I got this big, gigantic jar of petroleum jelly. Why don't you bend over? Let me give it to you real good, okay? I got enough to last all night long. You know, I'm going to start an OnlyFans, and it's just going to be me fucking 2020 in the ass. Yeah. $25 a month just to see me fuck 2020 in the ass. You know, like, guys, you need to calm down. We need to approach this new year with like cautious optimism. Cautious, because if there's something that if we've only learned one thing, if the past year has taught us only one thing, then that's anything can happen. I mean, really, like shit can go sideways, it can improve, it can get worse. You know, like 2020 was such a weird year. I had a lot of stuff happening. We need to just be like, I'm hopeful, but, you know, not holding my breath anytime soon. That's how I like to go through life sometimes, because you know what? It's better to be cautiously optimistic than to just go head hog or whole hog into like the optimism and like, yeah, I'm going to set my resolutions. It's going to be my year. It's like, whoa, calm it down. Why don't you look forward to the new year, a little bit of hope, you know, we can Star Wars it up, a new hope, but just kind of keep calm about it. Just be like, you know, at this point we should just be like, kind of like doubting Thomas in the Bible. Like, you know, I'll believe it when I see it type of thing. That's how we should approach this new year. We should be side-eyeing everything right now. And part of me loves the fact that we still have optimism, but part of me is just like, did y'all learn nothing from the past 12 months? Second, the year in reviews. Ordinarily, I like a year in review. I like to relive the past 12 months to see what the biggest hit, you know, pop culture wise. But why for 2020, why do the year in review? Why do you want to review the events of the past 12 months that we've all been collectively drinking to forget? Like there's nothing, you know, here's a year in review. Year in review. It doesn't need to be like a whole thing on TikTok. It doesn't need to be like a whole thing on e-news. Here it is. Early 2020, Kobe Bryant died, which, side note, 2020 was such a wild ride of a year. I forgot that Kobe Bryant died earlier, like in 2020. I thought he died in 2019. And then I hear somebody's like, yeah, man, this, can you believe like Kobe Bryant died earlier this year? Like, it's been so crazy. And I was just like, say what? Like, yeah, that did happen. So like for me to forget that a major celebrity, a major basketball star died, that just goes to show you all of the shit that happened. So number one, Kobe Bryant died. Then we had the bombings and between America and Iran. That was fun. Remember that when we thought World War III, we were on the brink of World War III. Remember that? How fun was that? Then we had the coronavirus that took over, and that, you know, lasted for the rest of the year. And that was fun because we had, you know, quarantines, people got sick, people died, you know, people, you know, depression and anxiety went through the roof. People lost their jobs. They were furloughed, like, you know, hospitals were at capacity. You know, that's fun. Let's relive that. Then you had the civil unrest and the protests due to the George Floyd murder, on top of, like, I think not just him, but there was Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, just a pressure cooker. George Floyd set everybody off. There was the rioting, the protests, the looting, started off peaceful, escalated real quick. And then we had this shit show of an election that was just, you know, it had us at each other's throats. First of all, like, there were some wild accusations being flown around. People were judging each other judging each other's character off of who they opted to vote for or not vote for in the election, which is fucked up. Because when you listen, people choose to vote for politicians. They don't agree with every single thing the politician stands for. Find me one person and I will tell you that person is lying, because nobody does that. So for someone to be like, oh, you voted for Trump, you're a racist, or you voted for Biden, you must, you know, you're a liberal snowflake. No, that's stupid. When you start, there was a little bit of hero worshiping going on, which is dangerous because politicians are corrupt, like innately. I mean, that's the nature of politics, corrupt. So when you start hero worshiping and looking to them for moral compasses, then we need to look inward, because that's fucked up. So we were at each other's throats over some nonsense, over this election nonsense that passed. And now here we are, you know, the holidays, you know, some people went back into lockdown over the holidays, you know, after the election, couldn't spend Thanksgiving or Christmas with their loved ones. I didn't look up stats, but I'm pretty sure depression and anxiety already at a high this time of year, probably even higher. And then we have the new year. So that was your 2020 year in review. Does that make you feel better to look back at all that? Like, I don't understand. Like, I don't get the year in review. If there's one year to not do a year in review, it's this year. Because what good happened? Like, Taylor Swift released two albums. That was kind of fire. We'll give her that. A Tiger King, the early days of quarantine, people thought it was going to be like 2 to 3 weeks tops. And we were on Netflix and chilling and, you know, having a kiki online. That was fun. Personally, my husband came home from overseas, so that was good. Personally for me, I got to hang out with my friend Jenna, so that was good. I would say I also got to work from home, so that was good. But I still feel like the amount of, so you have Taylor Swift, Tiger King, husband coming home, hanging out with Jenna, working from home, five things, as opposed to what, Kobe Bryant, Iran and U.S. bombings, coronavirus, George Floyd, general civil unrest, political infighting, a shit show of an election that took days to like get counts in, not being able to spend the holidays with your loved ones, and going through lockdown. That's like nine things. Eight if you count not being able to spend the holidays with your loved ones. And lockdown is one. So yeah, I would say the bad far outweighed the good. Facts. So the year in review, that just makes me want to jump off of a cliff because there's no reason. There's no reason. The amount of good did not offset the amount of bad. And I'm usually a pretty optimistic and hopeful person, but you can't, there's a fine line, you know, there's a point where optimism turns into delusion. And so I think anybody who does a year in review is delusional. So happy 2021, everybody. Happy New Year. I hope this new year improves. We'll see. Until then, one thing we can leave in 2020 is I don't want to hear we're all in this together. I don't want to hear like healthcare heroes. I understand they do important work. Doesn't negate the importance of them. I just hate the term healthcare heroes. It just is cringy. I can't do it. Like, we get it. We get it. They're on the front lines. They're unappreciated. You know, we need to do everything we can to make sure that we're staying safe, to like lessen the burden on them. I get it. Stop calling them healthcare heroes. Like, just stop. Just say healthcare work, essential workers, frontline workers. Like, we get it. They know that they're the heroes in this because they're in the shit every day. We just need to be grateful and do our parts to not make their jobs harder. So we can deal with that. Again, we're all in this together. We are, but in some cases we're not. Especially when you see the celebrities in their mansions, like, we're all in this together. Bitch, you have a full-on movie theater in your house. So you can get the movie theater experience that the rest of us can't. Like, the rest of us can, you know, can try and simulate it. Some of us have surround sound, and that's cool, but it's not the same. You probably have a full-on popcorn machine in your damn house. You know, you have a bowling alley in your house. So you still have some, you know, some form of entertainment. You can still afford probably to have a personal trainer, COVID compliant personal trainer, come over and make sure your ass doesn't gain like the quarantine 15 or whatever the fuck that's called. You know, and if you can't do a trainer, you have the money to purchase like the best and the room to house all this equipment in, but you have the money to purchase state-of-the-art exercising equipment. And you can probably do a trainer over Zoom. So fuck you. You know, like, so that can be left in 2020. Saying 2020 was just a hell of a year, or it was a shit show of a year. Yeah, we get it. We've all lived the last 12 months. Stop saying that. And stop saying like 2021 is my year. 2021 is going to be, I'm setting resolutions. No, none of that. I don't want to hear it. 2021 at best, it will turn out to be a good year, but at worst, it'll be the same shit that we dealt with in 2020. Don't give 2021 credit that it doesn't deserve right now. Sit back and be like, 2021, we're going to see before I start, you know, praising, singing your praises. We're going to see what actually happens. We still have the inauguration to look forward to. What's going to happen? I mean, did the GSA still certify? Like, are the votes actually certified? Did the GSA send the formal letter letting, like, Joe Biden's team actually get information to, like, documents and information that access information they need to, like, transition successfully? Because last time I checked, they still hadn't. I don't know. But then I lost count because, you know, I need a break. So what's going to happen with that? I don't know. You know, we still have January is going to be fraught, my friends. So let's just continue to just wait and see. That's what our motto should be in 2021. Wait and see. Wait and see what happens. So a toast to the new year. Yay. All right. We're going to get into the fragrance of the week. Okay, so scent of the week. I think I called it fragrance of the week in the last segment, whatever. Scent of the week is a perfume that I have shat on probably consistently throughout this podcast. I will probably continue to shit on it, but joke's on me because I actually like it. And that is Pink Sugar by Aqualina. Actually, I don't know if they're still with Aqualina. I don't know if it's spun off and they're now under the Pink Sugar brand because I have seen both. I have seen it being credited to Aqualina and, I have seen it being credited to Pink Sugar. Fun fact, actually, on Parfumo, Pink Sugar did say that the fragrance was previously marketed under the Aqualina brand. So, and I've heard that that was Aqualina's first fragrance. So I guess maybe it was enough of a monster, had enough of a success rate to kind of spin off into its own brand. And Aqualina's a parent brand. I don't know, but that's what it is. I have shat on this perfume just because it's easy. I mean, it's cheap and it smells like cotton candy. And a lot of people say it smells synthetic. They say it's not good. You know, it's cotton candy, so that obviously you must want to smell like a 12-year-old. It's marketed to like 12-year-old girls. It's not sophisticated, you know, blah, 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 blah. So this 2020 was the year I really leaned back into sweet trash fragrances, as my friend Jenna calls them. Basically fragrances that I leaned into when I was in my 20s. I never really wore one that smelled like cotton candy, but you know what I mean. It's like the sweet, fruity, floral. Maybe there was some gourmand. I apparently have not grown up because while my tastes have changed a little bit, I still like the sweet trash perfumes. I tried to ignore that the past few years, but you know, the heart wants what it wants. So I really got into gourmands this year, which again, surprise for me, because I always thought a gourmand meant you smelled like a vanilla cake batter or a cupcake, and I don't want to smell like those. But there was a few gourmands that changed my mind, you know, Changing Constants from Penhaligon's. That's more of like a sweet oriental, but I would say, because it's got a caramel note, it verges into gourmand territory. By Killian, Princess, Love Don't Be Shy, Black Phantom. So La Belle, that's the pear and vanilla fragrance. So I really just leaned into sweet fragrances. And so I'm like, you know what? Pink Sugar is not that expensive. I think I paid $20 for it from Fragrance Net. I really want to smell like cotton candy. Maybe that's young, maybe that's immature. I don't care. Really want to smell like cotton candy. So I bought it and I thought it was going to be a kind of a thick, a heavy, cloyingly sweet fragrance. And to be honest, I was prepared for that and I probably would have loved it either way, but color me surprised because yes, while this does smell straight up like cotton candy, it's an EDT, which means it's lighter. It's not an EDP, so it's not as heavy. And it's a very light, pretty scent, very feminine scent. I was blown away. It's better than what I thought it would be. And like some people say it smells synthetic. You know, it's probably true, but I mean, for $20, you know, you're not going to get like supernatural ingredients, but I don't think that doesn't make it smell cheap. You know, synthetic doesn't always mean cheap, and even price doesn't always mean that the perfume smells cheap. So I was super, super surprised and pleasantly surprised when I took a whiff and, you know, liked how soft and delicate and pretty this scent was. So, according to Parfumo, this was released in 2003. I have read online that it was actually released in 2004. It was Aqualina's first fragrance. Aqualina is an Italian brand, FYI. So around that time, 2003, 2004, the scent profile is such. So your top notes, you've got bergamot, fig leaf, raspberry, Sicilian orange. Middle notes, you got lily of the valley, red fruits, licorice blossom, and sugar powder. Bottom notes, you got caramel, musk, sandalwood, tonka bean, and vanilla. So the effect of all that, like, is straight up cotton candy. Like, I mean, I don't get a lot of the floral notes. I get a lot of the gourmand notes. I mean, caramel being my favorite. Yes, give me the caramel. Yeah, that's the effect. It smells 100% like cotton candy. I don't know what else to describe it. It's cotton candy. So because it's an EDT, the longevity is, you know, it's not the greatest, obviously. It's, I think I get about 4 hours of solid, like, performance. Projects for about, I don't know, like 30 minutes maybe, and then it settles close to the skin, so it's not a powerhouse. And I think that's good, because I think if this was a powerhouse, you could get choked out and choke out the others around you fairly quickly. And so I think that was smart on Aqualina's part to kind, you know, to make this light. EDT, you can pretty much wear it as a body splash. You know, I feel like an EDT is like a step above a body splash. I feel like you could be generous with the sprays and you're still not going to choke anybody out because it is light. If you wanted to wear you would have to reapply throughout the day if you wanted to steady keep wearing this. Like I said, around 4 hours, and it's pretty much, you know, it's pretty much done. It's still there, but it's light. Now, what I have noticed is on me, when I spray it on my chest, it makes any scent last a little bit longer. Like, it just, that's the best part of my body that projects. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if the chest is considered like a giant pulse point, or because I know the pulse points are like spots of concentrated heat, and that's what projects the scent out. And so I don't know if it's just like my chest is warmer too, and so that's what it projects. But even when I can't, you know, my arms, the smell's gone from my arms, or it's very faint, I will still get whiffs here and there from my chest and also behind my ears. One night I wore it earlier this week and kind of woke up like my husband and I, we have trouble sleeping sometimes. Like, we'll both wake up throughout the night sometimes because of nightmares or just our dreams or just because our bodies are like, it's time. So we both woke up at the same time. He was in a dream and he kept going, like, he put his arms around me and he was snuggled into like the crook of my neck. And he's like, mm-hmm. And then he woke up and he like looked at me and I was like, are you okay? And he goes, you smell like cookies. And I guess he was having a dream where I was like, would you like a cookie? And he's like, uh-huh. And I was like, just handing out cookies. But he said, I smelled like cookies. He had to have been smelling the pink sugar. So it must have still been lingering behind my ears. Conversely, later on that morning, when we woke up for good to start the day, I worked out on my, you know, did a spin class on my bike. And I smelled the sweetness, like, I guess sweating and getting warm and rewarmed like my chest, and it, whatever scent was there was projecting a little bit. So it's still not, you know, that's probably not true for everybody. And depending on where you spray it, I mean, even with that, I would say I still needed a touch up if I wanted to wear that, like, to go out, if we decided to go out for dinner the night before, because I had sprayed it on in the morning after the shower. And if I decided we wanted to like go to lunch or go to dinner, I would have had to reapply if I wanted to keep wearing it. So it is light, but I think that works in its favor. Cause if it was heavy, like a heavy EDP that was cotton candy, I think it would be super cloying. So if you're a person, again, who likes to wear scents by season or time of day or occasion, I should say, I would say this is a good spring and even summer, because even though it smells straight up like spun sugar, it's light enough to where I think it would be fine to wear in the summertime. Spring, it's still kind of, it is pretty fresh. It's weirdly fresh because it is light. So I think this could also be a good spring perfume. I think this could, because it's so light, I think this could be a good everyday scent for the right person. If like gourmands and sweet perfumes are your jam, this is light enough. Again, you won't choke anybody out. I think this could be a good everyday signature. This is also, I could see this being a good perfume for a younger girl or like somebody who, that might be like the first foray into perfumes. So if you have like maybe like a middle schooler or even an early high schooler or late high school, I'm 37, I'm still wearing it, but like middle school, high schooler who maybe they want something more than a body splash. They want something a little bit more quote unquote grown up, but still youthful. I think this could be a really good intro perfume. That's just me. But yeah, I think if you think perfume's too much of a mature gift, or you don't want to spend the money on like a 14-year-old, no shame. I wouldn't be purchasing my 14-year-old like Livia Bell. Wouldn't do that. That's a lot of money. But, you know, this will set you back about $20. If you're a bad bitch or a bougie bitch and you want to buy it, I think Nordstrom had it. The full price is like $34. So it's still not expensive, but you could find it for cheaper other retailers. So let's just see. So I spent exactly $20.29 on FragranceNet back in, I think this was August. And right now FragranceNet has it for $18.84. You can get, and the size I have is a 300 ml, so 3.4 fluid ounces. There's one called Bulk Apothecary, which is selling it for $7.50. I'd never heard of them, so I don't know. Nordstrom Rack has a pink sugar candy 3-piece set for $19.97, and it looks like it's a full-size bottle and like I would assume shower gel and lotion are the others. Let's check. It's a smaller. So it's a 1.7 ounce eau de parfum spray, which is EDT. Like I don't think they have an eau de parfum concentration. It's a 1.7 ounce shower gel and a 1.7 ounce body lotion. So for $19.97, that's not bad. That's a good gift idea for your, even though we're past Christmas, but you know, birthdays, Christmas in 2021. Fragrance X has it for $10.70. That's the 1 ounce. So you can get it cheaper elsewhere. I've also seen it in TJ Maxx and Marshalls. I did see it in, it was one of those actually this past holiday season. And I think it was a gift. I think it was the perfume and like the body lotion. So it's not going to set you back very much. And it's a good, you know, like I said, a good perfume to wear every day. Spring, summer, you do have to reapply and it's not a powerhouse. So that's something to keep in mind. Also a good gift idea if you have a younger girl, you know, middle school, high school, even early 20s, I think could get down with this and they like sweet scents. A really good option for them as well. Now, would I rebuy this? No, not because I don't like it, but because I think I mentioned in the last episode, there are very few perfumes I would rebuy just because there's so many perfumes out there. I want to expand, you know, like once I finish one up, I want to buy something else, you know, cause now I'm currently on a no buy, but I'm trying to keep my collection, full bottles, mini bottles all together at like 40-ish, 45-ish. So I don't want, I don't want to keep buying the same shit over and over again when there's so many other fragrances to explore. So there's only like a handful, and I've been thinking about it, that I would repurchase, no questions asked. If I had to do choose five, I've been thinking about this since the last time. So I was like, I think I have said other fragrances I would rebuy over throughout the past year. So here's like my top five, if I had, that I would most definitely repurchase. So in no particular order, Black Orchid, because I mean, come on. Alien, again, because I mean, come on. Just both beautiful, beautiful fragrances. Shalimar Soufla, again, that's my jam. YSL Libre or Ointance. My French is terrible, excuse me. Because that, and I've heard other people say that it's an elevated, it's kind of a rich mom perfume. And that's what I aspire to be. So a rich mom perfume, a rich boss lady perfume, a woman with sophisticated tastes and who's always put together. I totally agree. Definitely would repurchase that. And I would repurchase La Belle. Like, it was a toss up between La Belle and Changing Constance, but La Belle beat her out. Like, it's so, so good for like the gourmand side. So good. So those are my top five. But everything else, like, I want to continue to discover fragrances. And, you know, when I can start purchasing perfumes again, after ideally I use up some of my, you know, a few bottles in my current collection, I don't want to buy the same shit. I want to try different things. You know, if I, you know, I'm still sampling, I still have samples to go through. As I sample, I might find a new favorite that I want to purchase. So that's why. I mean, it's a great scent, but that's why I wouldn't repurchase it, just because I don't want to keep repurchasing them the same shit over and over again, you know? And I like it, but it's not a love, you know, like it's good, but it's one of those things, like, I'm having fun wearing it. And once the bottle is up, then we will part our ways. You know what I mean? So that's my take on Pink Sugar. I will probably continue to make fun of it because it's an easy target and everybody kind of looks at it the same way because it's been around for a while. It's cheap and it smells like sugar and, you know, but joke's on me because I really do like it, but I will probably poke jabs at it just because it's fun. You know, it's fun and it's easy. So there you go. Pink Sugar, a surprise of 2020. One of my surprises of 2020. I'll elaborate in the next section. Okay, so instead of fragrance in the news, I'm going to do my own personal year-end review of my 2020 perfume journey. I know, I just went on that big tangent about year-end reviews, but you know what? This one's different because this is about perfume. Perfume will always put a smile on my face. It could be like, I could be like Job, like Bible style, like lost family, lost my pets in the desert. I don't know if he was in the desert, but I think he came down with boils or something. Bible history is very, very hazy right now. But basically, I could be like Job. And if I get a whiff of something fragranced, my mood will be lifted. So it's not like I'm reviewing the events of 2020. I'm reviewing my personal fragrance journey because I do feel like it has been a ride. It has expanded this year for whatever reason. All right. So number one, my blind buy fail of 2020, that would be Shag Hafoud from Swiss Arabian. No shade to Swiss Arabian. Unfortunately, that was my first perfume from them, but I do want to try others. I've heard, what's the one? Casablanca. Jesus. Casablanca. I've heard that one was really good. I heard that one was like caramel apple, which sounds right up my alley. So I would like to try out that one in the future, sample it. But Shag Hafoud is widely touted as being a dupe for Lancôme's Oud Bouquet. Now, I have not smelled Oud Bouquet, but it has rose. It has oud. It sounds very pretty. And I think oud Ood's tricky for me because it has to be done just right, because it can be very overwhelming and not good. But, you know, I think the Shag Half Ood was like $50. And I was like, you know what? This was when I was still on a bender buying perfumes. So I was like, let me just buy this from Fragrance X and see. And if it works and if I like it, you know, great. My first, like, I guess Middle Eastern perfume or Middle Eastern inspired perfume review. I read a ton of reviews. People were describing it as like a chocolatey oud with dipped in roses, or, you know, roses dipped in chocolate, all this shit. I get it. And I couldn't do it, guys. It was just, the oud was so overpowering that I didn't get roses, which I love rose in a fragrance. I know roses are tricky for a lot of people. I love rose. I didn't get anything other than oud. It was like in the top, middle, and bottom notes. And it's like, why do you need that much oud? I think if they just would have dialed it back a touch and dialed up the other notes, especially the roses, it would have been so beautiful. But that's just me. I mean, a lot of people love it. It's a lot of, you know, this has very favorable reviews. I ended up selling it on Mercari, but I was very disappointed with that one. That one was a huge, I sprayed it exactly twice, because you don't need any more than one spray, because that shit is strong, which is a point for it, because, I mean, it's a powerhouse fragrance, so it will last you and it will project. But I just sprayed it on one spray on my chest. I couldn't do it. I thought I could, but the nail in the coffin for that scent was when my husband smelled me and said, "You stink." No, ma'am. No, ma'am. So I sold it. So that was my fail of 2020. Now, my blind buy success of 2020 was, La Belle by Jean-Paul Gaultier. I think I called it La Bella in an earlier segment. Sorry. La Belle by Jean-Paul Gaultier. That one only has three advertised notes, bergamot, pear, and vanilla. And some people say it's vetiver, pear, and vanilla. I have seen both listed, so whatever. And that is so good. It's like I just describe it as a pear cobbler. It's just, it's ooey, it's warm, it's rich, it's sweet. It's like a sexy autumn treat. And that rhymed, and I am happy with that. Let me get another sip. So that's definitely like an instant favorite. That's like I said, it's in my top five for life. Top five fragrances for life would be that. That's it. So that was my success. I remember when I first sprayed it on, I was like, I said out loud, "Oh, hell yeah." Like, it was so, I saw it hyped up on YouTube and I fell for the hype, and that actually lived up to the hype. So I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad. And I got the big bottle, which makes me so happy. So until the day JPG decides to discontinue it, I will keep buying it. I hope they don't discontinue it, because it's such a good scent. Oh, such a good fragrance, especially for fall, winter. Chef's kiss. So my splurge of 2020 would have to be Changing Constants. So that retails full price for $278. I didn't spend that much on it. I actually got it off of fragrancebuy.ca. But I did spend, it's my most expensive perfume that I spent it on. It was $189 Canadian dollars, which translates roughly to about $150 US dollars. So not the cheapest perfume, but worth it. Like Penhaligon's, we've all known my beef with Penhaligon's in general, because I think their scents are great, but the performance I think is not good. Like, it doesn't project. I think it lasts like a good 4 hours on me. Anything. I mean, Juniper Sling lasted like 1.5 to 2 hours, but before it like just evaporates, before it's no longer there. But when I sampled Changing Constants first, and I was like, I need this in my collection. That's an honorable mention for the top five. So if La Belle was discontinued, I would get Changing Constants. So I don't want to do a top six, because that doesn't sound good. It's the top five, but that would be honorable mention, is Changing Constants. And I'm really, like I said, not cheap. Really, really glad though that I got her. So that was my splurge of 2020. Conversely, my cheapest, so I have two. So cheapest that I just paid full, not full price for, but, you know, like didn't use gift cards outside of like a coupon, you know, whatever, was Pink Sugar. Like I mentioned previously, I spent $20.29. My cheapest out of pocket, it's not how much it was on sale for, but it was how much I personally paid out of pocket because of sale. And then I coupons or I gift card stacked. That was Bon Bon Couture. So that originally retailed for $112. It went on sale for like Black Friday, Cyber Monday for $67. And then I had $55 worth of gift cards that I had stacked. So let's see. So I spent, after taxes and stuff, it was about $17. I also qualify for free shipping and like the goodies, but that one was not, that one was my cheapest in terms of like using gift cards. But if you don't count that, then it would be the Pink Sugar. So the scent that I found most overrated in 2020, so this is going to be a spoiler alert because I have not yet reviewed this. I think the first impression has gone up already. So I'm actually going to review it on next week's episode. So spoiler alert. But the fragrance that I found to be most overrated this year was Baccarat Rouge 540. Don't come for me. I'm not dissing the fragrance because I think it's a beautiful scent. It's well blended. The craftsmanship quality is all there. I get it. Chef's great. It got a lot of hype. And to me, I was expecting to be blown away. And to me, it just smells like a really nice, woody men's perfume. You know, like maybe that means I'm not sophisticated. You might write me off, whatever. But I just was expecting something more. Based on the hype, I was expecting something more. And when I smelled it, I was like, huh. Now, granted, that's going off my first impression. Next week, I will give it the full wear test, wear it for a few days and see what happens. But right now, I would say that's my most overrated. And it's not in my collection. Well, I didn't say this is in my collection. This is a sample I have. But I would say that's my most overrated, the most overrated fragrance. Now, if we're going out of ones that I actually own in my collection, I'd have to say the most overrated fragrance is Love Don't Be Shy. As much as I, really fell in love with By Kilian, the House of By Kilian this year, you know, Love Don't Be Shy had all the hype because it's like Rihanna's perfume and Rihanna always gets compliments on how good she smells and da 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 da. And it's a gourmand, which I like, but compared to Princess, which I bought from Sephora, which is significantly cheaper than Love Don't Be Shy, I like Princess better. Like Love Don't Be Shy is good, but it's again, like it's, I got the travel spray. They recently came out with like the purse spray and it was $45, pricey for a purse spray. But considering that I think it's a 50 ml bottle, the full size bottle is $250. I could part with $45, you know? So I own that, but I'm not planning to repurchase it once I run out of it. It's great. But it's just like when I compare it with Princess, I just like Princess better. So to me, that was out of the ones that I own, Love Don't Be Shy is my most overrated. But out of everything that I've smelled this year, Baccarat Rouge 540 is the most overrated. Now, the surprise of the year for me would be outside of Pink Sugar, that one I got a whole review, we talked about it. It would be Shalimar Cologne. So Anne of Perfume Stories recommended this to me. She said it had the Shalimar DNA, but it was lighter. And she said it was a safe blind buy. So I got it. I bought it off of Fragrance X2. And when I first smelled it, I liked it, but something about it reminded me of a man that used to go to my church when I was a kid. He was a hugger, not in a creepy way, but he was just like picture an old Southern deacon in a Baptist church. That was him. He'd be like, give me a hug. And he smelled, it would just have that smell like an old man lemon cologne. But the more I wore it, the more I fell in love with it. Like I found out that this was, the Shalimar cologne came out in 2014. So there's no way he could have worn it. That might have helped me get past it. But then the more I wore it, the more like I just like that it was like a lemon vanilla cookie, but in a good way. Like it was well blended. It was elevated, light and fresh and so pretty and so good. So that was the one that kind of turned around. So my initial reaction was, I don't know if I'm going to like this. And then once I actually wore it, gave it the wear test, I fell in love with it. So, and that's why I do like, I used to wear my scents when I do scent of the week. I used to wear them for a full week, but then I noticed I would kind of start to get anosmic to it after a couple of days. So I do every other day throughout the week. So this week started early. This is an early episode, obviously, but I wore Pink Sugar on Friday and then Monday, Wednesday, and now Friday. And then I just wore other perfumes on the off days. So I spread it out so I don't get that anosmia because, you know, I want to smell my perfumes too. But I do that throughout the week when I review a scent. So to give me like a full, you know, give me a full, well-rounded impression. And that's why I do it, because I have been surprised before. I have had my mind change before. The longer I wore a scent, it's changed my mind. So that was my surprise. So the fragrance house that I bought the most of this year, or last year now, would be Guerlain. So it started with, No, that was last year. So I bought the Souffle last year. Loved it. This year, I bought the Souffle Entente. I bought Souffle d'Orange, which I unfortunately didn't work for me. It had like a weird green note that was like almost kind of sour. I ended up selling it on Mercari, but I did buy it. I bought the Cologne. I bought La Petite Robe Noir Black Perfecto. And then I bought the La Petite Robe Noir Ma Robe Hippie Chic, which that is coming up in a couple of weeks. A review on that. And I think that's it. So five out of all the perfumes, because I bought quite a bit of perfumes this year. Out of all of those, five were Guerlain. So that, I adore Guerlain. Like even the Souffle d'Orange, it was still pretty. I just that green note and the fact that I have a lot of other florals that I liked. And unfortunately, this one I didn't, but it still didn't make it bad. Like it was still a great scent. It just didn't excite me as much as, you know, my other Guerlains did. So I do look forward to exploring more from that house. I actually have a sample of Gourmand Coquine, which is a boozy chocolate scent. So I'm hoping that is pretty good. Now that's expensive, so I'm not like I'll be able to buy it anytime soon if I do like it, but chocolate's a weird note for me. I haven't yet smelled a chocolate scent that I really like. And even for the Gourmand Coquine, when I just like smelled it from the little dropper, it kind of smelled like old lady, like a little old lady chocolatey vibe. So we'll see, but yeah, I would like to explore. I would like to spray the original Shalimar on my skin. You know, you've listened to this podcast for any amount of time, you would know that Shalimar and I have a rocky relationship. We're still not at a place where, you know, we're civil to each other, but we're not going to be spending, you know, a weekend together. A quick recap. I first smelled it in like the Macy's department store as a 20-something. I thought it smelled gross. It smelled like old lady. No, ma'am. I recently smelled it again. I think it was earlier this year before the pandemic, all of that when I was at Epcot. I smelled it on a car, the original, and it wasn't bad. I don't know how I feel about it. I was still kind of on the fence. I'm like, it's not great, but it's not terrible. But I want to smell it on my skin to see how, because I have the potential. I think I could like it, but I want to sample it first. So definitely want to sample that. I want to sample like Mitsuko, Jicky. There's another one, Insolence. There's a Samsara. Like there's their classics I want to sample. So I do look for, and of course the original La Petite Robe Noir. Still haven't smelled it. I thought when I bought the Ma Robe Hippie Chic, it said La Guerre spray, and it was cheaper than the La Petite Robe Noir, even on FragranceNet. And I was like, I don't know what Laguerre spray is, but I'll try it. And then after I Googled it, you know, Googled after the fact and found out it's like a lighter version or whatever of the original. Still pretty. I sprayed it like once for the first impression. Still beautiful. But yeah, I would like to sample the original La Petite Robe Noir. So lots of good stuff coming out of Guerlain. Would like to explore that house even more. The fragrance that sums up 2020 to me. Now again, don't come for me. And this is not a diss. Sorry, I had to get a sip of champagne or Prosecco. This is not a diss on Francis Kurkdjian. I own Burberry Her, and that is a fragrance that he created, and I love it. But a fragrance that sums up 2020 to me is Baccarat Rouge 540. Hear me out. So 2020 started off very optimistic, very hopeful, you know, as all New Year's tend to do. And that quickly devolved into just massive disappointment. So for me, again, going off of my first impression, Baccarat Rouge got such a hype and I was super excited to try it. Just rave reviews across the board. Super excited to try it. And then when I smelled it, I was a little bit disappointed because I was like, this is nice, but it's, you know, it is what it is. I've smelled other perfumes that have gotten a more visceral reaction from me. Like La Belle, you know, when I first smelled that, I was like, oh, hell yeah. And this goes in the next one, but I recently sampled Oud Satin Mood. Again, that was love at first sniff. I only sprayed it once and I still have to do the full test, but right now it's love at first sniff. Color me surprised because it's got oud. Oud's tricky. I want to like it. I think this is done very well. So when I sprayed that, I was like, I might have orgasmed or close to it because it was such a sexy scent, like classy and sexy, like, oh, so good. But I didn't get that when I spelled Baccarat Rouge 540. It was more of just like a, all right. So that's what I would say sums up 2020. Super excited at the beginning. And then once you actually experience it, it's just kind of disappointing. All right. So the last one. Fragrance I hope to buy in 2021 is Oud Satin Mood. You know, at some point, I don't know, I'm hoping to use up at least a few of my minis and some of my summer scents. Like, I think I could use up Light Blue. And I think I might be able to use up SJP NYC and get that out of my collection. But yeah, that's Oud Satin Mood, based off of my one spray, is so good. And it's, I would like to own, it's so expensive. And I don't know if I could justify it unless I find like a hella sale. I would love to own it. Or I would even settle for like a really good dupe, which if anybody can recommend a really good dupe, even if it's from a clone house, I've heard, I haven't much read about Fragrinza. They have a dupe called Oud Razzo. And Dua Fragrances has a dupe called like Satin Midnight, I think it is. And those are both supposed to be actual clones of Oud Satin Mood. If anybody has experience with any of those or with something that I might not have heard, like, let me know, like, what is a good clone of Oud Satin Mood? Because that is a fragrance I would love to have in my collection. So yeah, I know Dua, I do have Dua's clone of Lost Cherry. It's Pop Cherry. And I actually prefer, I mean, Lost Cherry is smoother, but in terms of projection and performance, Pop Cherry just blows it out of the water. And the dry down, it's the same. I mean, it smells the exact same. I can't detect a difference. So I think that their clone of Satin Midnight would be good. I just need to sample those. But if you have any recommendations for that, let me know. But yeah, at some point, if I come off my no buy in 2021 for perfume, I would like to purchase that fragrance because it's so, so pretty and so sexy and so dark. And I just fucking love it. That got really weird at the end. So yeah, that was my fragrance 2020 journey in fragrance. Let me know how yours was. What if, you know, if you want to tell me about your blind buy fails, successes, most expensive, most overrated, you know, you know, you can hit me up in the comments, slide into my DMs, whatever, Instagram at Pino and Perfume. So yeah, that's how I wrapped up 2020. All right, that wraps up the first episode of 2021. As always, thank you for listening. And hey, I mean, I think this year, I will say this 2020 is the year that this podcast grew. I made some new friends. Hello, Anne, Sweet Lily, Bougie Fragrance. All you guys are awesome. And are really, you know, have given me good recommendations and just nerd out with me on perfume. I love it. And everybody who's been listening and new people who, you know, decided to listen to me ramble, thought I was entertaining enough to listen to me week after week, ride or dies, you know, thank you everybody for your support. Like, it does not go unnoticed. I'm super grateful and glad that there's more people out there who like my personality, like my sense of humor, my takes, my hot takes on perfumes and fragrance, and just love it as much as I do. So thank you guys. I keep forgetting to plug my other podcast. I started a podcast with my friend Jenna. It's called Savoir Shade, also on the Anchor Network, also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, blah, blah, blah. It's Savoir Shade and Emily in Paris Recap. Self-explanatory title. We didn't do anything last week because Christmas weekend, because it was Christmas weekend, hanging out and spending time with our families. But our last episode was, we did a recap of Christmas in the Smokies. So if you want to listen to that, that's good. I think we're 2 episodes left in season 1 of Emily in Paris. That will most likely resume this weekend, and then the next weekend will be our last episode. Luckily, Emily in Paris got renewed for season 2, so we will be back, but you can listen to our past episodes that are already live as well. So that's Savoir Shade. If you want to connect with me online, I'm at Pinot and Perfume on Instagram. If you work out with a Peloton app, or you're richer than me and are able to have a whole damn Peloton bike, let's be friends on Peloton. I have the app. Let's get that flock. Wait, was it the swarm badge? Whichever the biggest one is. Let's get that badge, bitch. So I'm hashtag Pinot and Perfume on there as well. You can also email me at sarahchacone784@gmail.com. And with that, I will let you guys enjoy your New Year's. I hope that you were safe and I hope that you had fun. But whatever you do, I hope that you were smelling good. Bye. Pinot and Perfume is hosted and produced by yours truly, Sarah Chacone. Theme music is Around the Bend by Evan Schaefer.